It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
This is Professor Alex Scholar Flowers from Brain Somology, and I wanted to share a unique Juneteenth story happening in Fuquay Arena on June 19th and 20th. Now, this highlights community, culture, education, entrepreneurship, health, and the power of local partnerships. And what makes Manifest unique is that it reimagines Juneteenth as both a celebration of freedom and a community blueprint for the future, connecting history, health, education, entrepreneurship, and culture in one shared experience. I love to tell people Manifest is more than just an event. It's edutainment. So on Friday, June 19th, from 7 o'clock to 9 p.m. at the Fuquay Arena Art Center, we will present Freedom Rooted, Future Bound. It is an original artistic expression featuring spoken word, music, dance, storytelling, and community voices. The production explores the journey from freedom earned to freedom imagined, connecting our historical resilience with future aspirations. And then on Saturday, June 20th, from 7 a.m. to 4:30, we're going to have a Manifest Community Fun Day, transforming downtown Fuquay Arena into a one-day, long-day celebration of wellness, education, entrepreneurship, and culture. We're going to have activities like a freedom fun and walk in partnerships with Black Girls Run. Thai Connects is bringing community hike and wellness activities. We're going to have a health and wellness fair. We're going to have smart money moves in partnership with Tribor, giving out financial literacy workshops. Then there's going to be Manifest STEM Fest. It's for the youth. It's for the entire family to learn about science, technology, engineering, mathematics, experiences all through gaming and exhibits. We're also going to have the Legacy Marketplace. It's inspired by the spirit of Black Wall Street. We're going to have live music, entertainment, food vendors, yard games, and family activities. And they say that you can't truly know where you're going until you understand where you've been. And that's exactly what this Juneteenth is all about. I'm extremely proud to invite you guys to Manifest Freedom Rooted, Future Bound, a celebration that goes beyond just a showcase. It's a living, breathing testament of our resilience and the beauty of our journey. So I hope to see you guys on Friday, June 19th at 7 p.m. at the Fuquay Arena Art Center. And I hope to see you guys on that Saturday, June 20th. You can get your tickets and free registration at www.manifestfv.com. See you guys soon.
Beautiful people, the Living Water Project is coming June 20th at 2 p.m. at the Carter Clinic, 4009 Barry Drive in Raleigh, North Carolina. Free clothes, free basic medical care, and free dental extractions. Hey man, we're serving our community. And this is sponsored by Waymakers, Soup for Soul Ministries, and your boy, the Unknown Preacher, LA. Hope to see you there. God bless.
Heavenly Father, we gather today to share, connect, and inspire. I pray that this episode brings value, encouragement, and wisdom to everyone listening. Please guide AZ to be authentic, clear, and impactful. May this podcast be a source of light, fostering positivity and growth in every listener. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Hey, yo. Do we see the pain in places where most people never go? When they ask, do we make an excuse to roll up our car windows? It's seeing the man on the corner, the mother struggling to survive, the child who needs encouragement to believe their dreams can thrive.
is sharing a meal with the hungry. Sometimes spare change is not enough. Giving a coat when winter comes, more than once, y'all. See, we have to keep it up. It's offering words of encouragement. I'm here. What do you need? When they believe their life is done, show them with God they can succeed. See, in the eyes of God, you're my sisters and brothers. And God gave to us so we can help one another. A smile can change a morning. It can make your day bright. A kind word can heal a scar. The right words can make things right. A helping hand can remind someone what we're living for and how valuable they truly are in the eyes of the Lord. And when our journey here is over and we stand at heaven's door, we won't be judged by what we gain, but by how we help the poor. For a life spent serving others, though humble it may seem, leave marks on the hearts of many, and by others it will be seen, and it fulfills heaven's dream. Stay humble, y'all.
John 13:3-5. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him.
Good morning. I just want to say, I just really, really love our program. I love the team. I love the panel discussions I have with some of the most phenomenal pastors in the country. And I love the dialogue with myself and the co-host. But I also love moments like this when I get to share the word, because that's the core. That's what's so, so important. And there are moments in scripture that seem to arise above all others, moments so profound, so unexpected, that they force us to stop and ask ourselves, why would God do that? Not because the event itself was spectacular, not because thousands were healed, not because the dead were raised, but because in one simple act, God revealed his heart. And sometimes the most powerful lessons are not taught through words. They're taught through example. John 13 gives us one of the most standout moments in the Bible, because the highest of the high, the King of Kings, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who spoke galaxies into existence, did something so amazing, so countercultural, so breathtaking, so humble that even his own disciples struggled to fully understand it. And they also struggled to appreciate the significance of that moment. And I want to begin, before I get into it, with another true story. I want to talk about Nelson Mandela. See, Nelson Mandela became president of South Africa in 1994. And he went from 27 years of being an inmate to becoming one of the most powerful men on earth. And I want you to think about that. 27 years, 27 birthdays, 27 Christmases, 27 years watching life pass by from behind bars. And most people expected revenge. Many believed he had earned it. And if anyone had a right to settle a score, it was Nelson Mandela. But instead, Mandela did something that shocked the world. He invited some of his former prison guards to attend his presidential inauguration. And not only invited them, they were his honored guests. Think about that for a moment. The men who watched him suffer, the men who represented the system that stole decades of his life, the men who once held authority over him, now sitting among dignitaries and world leaders as honored guests. Why? Because Mandela understood something that many people never learn. Power reveals character. And when you finally have the ability to humiliate someone, destroy someone, embarrass someone, or get even, and you choose grace instead, you reveal who you really are. Anybody can be kind when they need something. Amen. Anybody can be humble when they have no authority. But the true test of character comes when you possess power and choose not to use it for yourself. And that is exactly what Jesus wants us to see. You know, you learn so much about a person when they have the power to gain revenge, but they give someone an opportunity to redeem themselves. You learn a lot about someone who recognizes the need to let someone keep their dignity. And again, perfect example, and that's exactly what John wants us to see about Jesus. See, verse 3 says, Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. He knew he had all authority. He knew he came from God and was returning to God. And what did he do with that power? This is truly a what would Jesus do moment, a leadership lesson. Because he didn't demand a throne. He didn't demand applause. He picked up a towel. And he washed the feet of his disciples. See, the world says power means people serve you. Jesus says power means you can serve others. And although I used the story of Mandela, Jesus demonstrated true humility. Jesus washed the feet of the enemy who was actively betraying him. Jesus displayed divine grace. Jesus, the story of Jesus saves us. See, true greatness is revealed not by how much power you have, but by what you do with it. And in that time for Jesus to wash his disciples' feet, it was shocking. It was unexpected. It was unheard of. See, even slaves, Jewish slaves, didn't wash feet. That was so low of a task that only Gentile slaves washed their master's feet. And what we're doing on June 20th, as we serve the underserved, as we show people love who deserve to be loved. See, in 2026, it's unexpected and unheard of. And I can tell you that we truly love serving and helping others. See, every time we serve, every act of service is an opportunity to reflect Christ's character. And we should be asking our neighbor, how can I help you? What burden can I carry? And how can I make someone's life better? Church, one of the most remarkable things about this passage is not what Jesus said. It's what he didn't say. See, there is no sermon, no rebuke, no announcement, no social media post, no trumpet, no board meeting, no speech explaining why he was about to serve. Just a towel and water. And sometimes the loudest message God ever sends is delivered without a single word. And because he knew who he was, he didn't need everybody else to tell him. See, insecure people need titles. Secure people need opportunity. Insecure people demand recognition. Secure people render service. Insecure people ask, do you know who I am? Jesus knew exactly who he was, and that's why he could kneel. Many of us have been taught that greatness means getting higher. But Jesus teaches that greatness means getting lower. The world says climb the ladder. Jesus picks up a towel. The world says be seen. Jesus says serve. The world says build your platform. Jesus says wash somebody's feet. The disciples are arguing over who's the greatest. Jesus is showing them who the greatest is, not by talking, but by serving. And notice something so fascinating in this text. Jesus does not wait until everyone deserves it. He washes all their feet. Impulsive Peter's feet, James the Less's feet, Thomas's doubting feet, and Judas. Judas's betraying feet. I want you to think about that. Jesus is washing the feet of a man he knows will sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Yet he serves him anyway, because kingdom service is not based on the worthiness of the recipient. It's based on the character. You may never get a thank you. You may never receive recognition. You may never hear applause. You may pour into people who forget your name. You may help people who eventually hurt you. Jesus understands. He washed Judas' feet. And the older I get, the more I realize that some of the holiest people I've ever known weren't great speakers. They weren't famous preachers or best-selling authors or influencers. They were grandmothers who prayed, deacons who quietly fixed things around the church. When I became police chief, my major, I'm going to our range. We owned our own firing range, and it was in the middle of nowhere. And I see my major on a riding lawnmower just taking care of the grass. And I asked, I said, hey, you cut the grass out here? And he said, boss, I do whatever needs to be done. Deacons quietly do whatever needs to be done. Mothers make sacrifices. Fathers work extra shifts. Yet, heaven records their act, but the world keeps moving by. Because God measures greatness differently than we do. We celebrate visibility. God celebrates faithfulness. And what makes this scene even more powerful is that Jesus never announced what he's doing. He simply gets up. The Son of God rises from the table, takes off his outer garment, wraps himself in a servant's towel, and starts washing feet. No speech, no self-promotion, no explanation, just action. Because real love doesn't always talk. Sometimes real love cooks dinner. Sometimes it changes diapers. Sometimes it sits beside a hospital bed. Or pays a bill, or makes a phone call, or just listens, or serves, or feed the hungry, or provide dental exams, or give physical screenings. Real service. I grew up watching my mother give and give over and over again, and some appreciated it. Some didn't deserve it, and some took it until she gave her last penny. And some never gave back. But you know what? I didn't criticize her and I didn't discourage her. See, some would really say, never will I be that person, but not me. What it did more than anything was make it easy to admire a woman with a remarkable heart. I realized that I would admire this woman, even if she wasn't my mother. Now, I don't know if my mother was intentionally exposing me to her generosity to influence me, but the compassion, the duty to serve, all of that came from her. In fact, she used to tell me, never look down on anyone because you never know when you will be in that same situation, and you're going to pray that others can help you. We need more of that in the world right now. Amen. And she told me, and I heard her, and she showed me, and I saw it. I felt it. I understood it. And on the flip side, I saw my mother get in some tight financial situations, and her brother-in-law, my uncle, came to our aid without hesitation. How can you see so many acts of kindness? How can you see people in position to kick someone when they're down, but show grace and not be affected by their loving heart? How can you? But here's the other side. Then there are those who assume that getting ahead is about getting more from others. But doesn't it seem like the people who are constantly hustling, constantly borrowing, constantly looking for the next hookup, the next favor or the shortcut, never build the habits, relationships, and character that create lasting success? They become consumers of other people's resources instead of producers of value. And despite the ugliness of their actions, a true child of God knows what they know, but still embrace acts of service. The one who hung the stars in the sky stoops down to wash dirty feet. The one who commands angels chooses the position of a servant. And John wants us to see something extraordinary. Before Jesus picks up the towel, John tells us what Jesus knew. You see, he knew who he was. His deity was never in question. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. And because he knew those things, he was free to serve. Many people think service comes from weakness. Jesus shows us service comes from strength. He was all powerful. Many think humility comes from insecurity. Jesus shows us humility comes from security. What does the church say? See, the world often teaches that greatness is measured by how many people serve you. But Jesus, in this text and throughout his ministry, taught that greatness is measured by how willing you are to serve others. Are you willing? Do you do what's right because it's the right thing to do, even when it's inconvenient? Even if you make sacrifices, even if you're giving something up, the right thing is the right thing to do. Notice that Jesus didn't wash feet because he lacked authority. He washed feet because he possessed authority. Secure people don't have to prove their importance. They can serve without feeling diminished. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. And demonstrating the right attitude, adopting the right characteristics, and truly loving your neighbor, that's what's godly. Humility is important because it keeps pride from poisoning our relationships, our leadership, and our walk with God. See, pride says, what can others do for me? But humility asks, what can I do for others? Pride seeks a throne. Humility picks up a towel. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he gave us a picture of God's heart. The King of Kings became a servant. Now, here's the big statement. If Christ was willing to kneel, none of us are too important to serve. If Christ was willing to kneel, none of us are too important to serve. Not now one of us. Today, ask yourself, am I carrying a crown when God called me to carry a towel? Am I serving others the way God called us to serve? If you have, are you giving? Are you giving to people in need? Not just money, time, food, clothing, but love, showing them dignity. Are we doing it? The greatest people in God's kingdom are not those who demand service, but those who are willing to serve. So it was important for Jesus to wash the feet of his disciples. See, Jesus saw it necessary to redefine leadership. And as I said earlier, back then, foot washing was the job of the lowest servant. Roads were dusty. People wore sandals back then, and their feet were pretty dirty. So that paints the picture of the magnitude of this gesture. There was a lot going on in the gesture of humility. See, we get even more understanding through the eyes of John, because before Jesus grabbed the towel, the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest. Jesus answered their argument by his actions, not by his words, not by a lecture, but by picking up a towel and washing their feet. A powerful and super important statement. It was also important because Jesus demonstrated love in action. Jesus said, love them to the end. See, Jesus did more than tell his disciples he loved them, because love is more than feelings. Love serves. Love makes sacrifices. And love meets needs. What are the needs of the community? What are the needs of our people? It was also important because washing their feet was part of the preparation. See, Jesus was giving a living illustration of what he was about to do on the cross. Within hours, he would be arrested and crucified. And Jesus stooped down to serve. He took on the task of washing filthy feet, and he humbled himself for the benefit of others. Now, this is very interesting because the disciples didn't fully understand it in the moment. They were definitely confused. And we all know the story. Peter. Yep, Peter. There's always Peter, right? Peter's immediate response was no. And when Jesus came to Peter, he was shocked. He said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And then he said, you shall never wash my feet. But Peter was looking at things with human eyes. Like masters above servants, leaders ahead of followers, kings above everyone. And John captured this masterfully, because when you read the Gospel of John, it feels different in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is really, really about Jesus's love. And in John 20:31, he tells us, but These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Some say the Gospels. The other Gospels focus on what Jesus did, but John, the Gospel according to John, when you read John, he focuses on who Jesus was. He focuses on who Jesus was. And he intentionally wanted us to know that the glory of Jesus is revealed through humble love. Leadership in God's kingdom is not about titles or money or celebrity. It's about serving others. And Jesus was saying, the way I treat you is the way I want you to treat one another. We know what we should do, but serving is work. Serving can be uncomfortable. Serving is serving. And John is telling us Jesus knew he had power. He knew who he was, yet he served. He demonstrated humility. Now, here's where we get a little deeper. See, foot washing points to the ongoing cleansing that flows from what baptism signifies. When Jesus knelt before his disciples, he was doing more than teaching humility. See, he was illustrating a spiritual truth, the roads of the Middle East were dusty. And even after a person had bathed, their feet would become dirty from walking in the world. They didn't need another bath. They needed their feet washed. And later in the chapter, when Peter objects, Jesus tells him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Peter responds by asking Jesus to wash his hands and head, just wash it all, you know. And Jesus answers, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean." Jesus is drawing a distinction between the cleansing that has already happened and the cleansing that continues to happen. See, baptism symbolizes the believer's once for all washing through faith in Christ. But even after we belong to Christ, we still walk through fallen, imperfect world. Our feet get dirty. We stumble. We sin. We need continual cleansing through repentance, confession, and the ongoing work of God's grace. So baptism says, "I have been washed." Foot washing says, "I still need Jesus." And not just, "I still need Jesus." I still need Jesus every day. Baptism is the beginning of the journey. Foot washing reminds us that discipleship is a daily walk of cleansing and renewal. Jesus, the one who had all authority, knelt to cleanse dirty feet. See, the church often wants a savior who forgives sins, but Jesus also insists on being the Lord who can continues to wash us. Some people want a crown without cleansing. Some want salvation without sanctification. But Jesus says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." See, the same Christ who saves us is the Christ who continually cleanses us. The towel teaches what the water of baptism proclaims. We are washed by Christ, and we remain dependent on Christ's cleansing every day of our lives. Serving those who are less fortunate is especially important because it reflects the heart of God throughout Scripture. And God shows concern for the poor. He shows concern for the widow, the orphan, the sick, the outsiders. And when we serve people who cannot repay us, we demonstrate a love that expects nothing in return. Jesus said that when we feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, and care for those in need, we are serving him. Every act of kindness becomes an act of worship. Serving others also protects our heart from pride. And it reminds us that everything we have, our health, our resources, our opportunities, and our blessings are a gift from God. See, the moment we kneel to help someone else, we remember that we too depend on God's grace every day. The world says get ahead. Jesus says serve. The world says climb higher. Jesus says kneel lower. The world says, look out for yourself. Jesus says, love your neighbor. The cross proves that God serves before he saves. Jesus didn't just tell us to love. He showed us what love looks like. And every time we serve someone who is hurting, struggling, lonely, or overlooked, we become living examples of Christ's love. This week, look for someone who cannot do anything for you in return. Serve them, encourage them, help them, pray for them, because when you pick up the towel, you begin to become a reflection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
The unknown.